Let's talk about the Apostle Paul and why he is our apostle. First of all, I want to start.
Is it too loud? Mm-hmm.
To me, it is. I'm loud anyway. Paul said in 2 Timothy, if you'll turn to 2 Timothy 2:7, we're going to start off with what Paul says. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:7, to consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. It's what Paul says. And where does he say it? He says it's between Romans and Philemon. And I was thinking about that earlier today. I was thinking about, you know, trying to get my thoughts together. And what if we didn't have Paul? Where would we be? Have you ever really stopped to think about what if we didn't have Paul? What if we did not have Romans through Philemon? Guess what? We're those Gentiles outside the covenant. We would have no hope. But Paul has given us hope right here in the Word of God, rightly divided. You had to rightly divide it. But if you take Romans through Philemon's out of the Bible and you squish it all together, you'd have a Jewish Bible. And that is not going to help us, because we're outside the hope. Go over to Acts. Let's start with the life of Paul. Let's start with how we got the Apostle Paul in the first place. Go to Acts 9. See, before Acts 9, you had the 12 apostles. You didn't have 13 apostles. You had the 12 apostles. And in Matthew 10:1, it names the apostles. But Paul's name, or Saul's name, is not there. He's not counted with the 12. He's not number, I mean, he might be a 13th apostle, but he's not counted with the 12 apostles. And they were given a specific ministry. They were to go into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were not to even go to a Gentile. And Barry's give you the illustration many times of this Phoenician woman, I can't even say it, how she came to him and he wouldn't even talk to her. Well, his disciples, the 12, and even over in Acts, when they got the 12th, the replacement for Judas Iscariot, he was with the 12. He was with them all along in the ministry. That was part of their qualifications to have been with the Lord Jesus Christ in their ministry. But Paul was never named among them. And I have been in church a lot of my life. And I don't ever remember my church, and I've been in Assembly of God, and I have been in Independent Baptist, and I have been in Southern Baptist churches. And I don't ever remember them ever teaching me that Paul or Saul was my apostle. Now, I've heard the stories about how he was an apostle, but he wasn't specifically sent to me. He was just another apostle. But there's a whole lot of difference between what Paul teaches and what the 12 taught. And Jesus gave them specific orders. Don't even go. And I'm not going to get into them, because I'm going to look at Paul a little bit tonight, because he is our apostle. And if we did not have Paul, why would we even be here tonight? If you stop, I mean, think about it. What if we didn't have Paul? Go to Acts 9. Yeah. There you go. Well, actually, that's true. Well, first of all, Paul, it says in verse 9, now Paul, or Saul, in the beginning of Saul, just got through consenting into the death of Stephen, and he was about ready to go and wreak havoc. And it says here, in verse 1 of 9, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and he desired of them letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. Now here he was going out, he thought he was doing God a favor. He really thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was working for the Pharisees. He was working for the Pharisees. Man, I am Mr. Number One right here. I'm going to go out here and we're going to get them to quit talking about Jesus Christ. And the only way we're going to do that, we're going to just take them and put them in jail. We're going to beat them. We're going to kill them. And they're not going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. Well, Paul had a rude awakening coming to him on the road to Damascus. Go on, let's read. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why are you persecuting me, Saul? Why are you trying to get people not to hear about Jesus Christ? Now, the ministry still was to the Jew back then. The Gentiles had not been offered the free gift yet. But God is getting ready to prepare a man. Go on. It says in verse 6, And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said, he recognized. When he was down in that dirt, when God finally knocked him off his horse, and he was flat on his face, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? When was the last time you got on your face before the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You see, we all have something that we need to be doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Apostle Paul as our guide, as our pattern. We'll get into that. We have his words. And something I was thinking about the other day, too, I like to give blood and platelets and things like that. And, of course, they let you watch movies and stuff. And I watched a movie the other day. And it was a good movie. It had a moral to it. This couple, and if I named the movie, you would know it, but this couple in Memphis, they made a difference in a young man's life. But my question at the end of it is, what did they do for his eternity? You see, the Apostle Paul was saved to make a difference in our eternity because he brought us the good news of the salvation of the gospel of Christ. I'll get into that some more, but think about our lives now. It's okay. It's good. I think we need to make a difference in people's lives. But what are we doing to help people with their eternity? Do you realize if you're saved tonight, and I'm talking to myself too. I got that mirror right here. I'm preaching to myself too. What do I do? What do we do to share with other people that would change their lives for eternity? Think about eternity. Think about the Apostle Paul and why he was sent here. He was sent here to show us that we can have eternal life. Because when the Gentiles were blessing Israel, I don't believe they were secured in eternal life. I thought about what if they didn't bless Israel anymore? Do they save eternally? It never said, I have not found anywhere in the Old Testament where they were sealed unto the day of redemption. Nowhere. I've already read my Bible once this year. I'm on the second start through. I have not anywhere. They lost it.
Well, you know, before we talked about it, we just said they were blessed. They just got a blessing.
Right.
They said they were saved. Barry had been saying that was the blessing that they were saved. And I've been asking about that because it kind of changed.
Well, were they saved because they kept blessing? What if they got to the point where they said, well, I'm tired of blessing? Now, I'm not saying that may have happened. But it's, you know. But Paul comes on. Saul comes on. Now, I want to get to Saul and go over to, we're still in Act 9. Go over to verse 11.
And they couldn't have been saved then because they were on the other thing. They had been saved in the 1,000 years.
Right, in 7, yeah. There was, what I'm thinking is, where it says in Ephesians that you're sealed unto the day of redemption, there's several times, not just in that, and we'll get into that. You don't find where they were sealed in the Old Testament. And they're not sealed in the rapture, in the tribulation, or the 1,000 years. But in Paul, though, we'll find out we're going to be sealed if we get to that tonight. But we're looking at a man who was on his way to try to stop people from hearing about Jesus Christ. And God knocked him off his horse and said, Saul, I got something I want you to do. Go to verse 11. It says, And the Lord said unto him, talking to Ananias now, a gentleman over in Antioch. I believe it's Damascus, excuse me. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Well, I think if you just got knocked off your horse and saw the sky light, I mean, the sun like a, you know, like the image of Christ, like the sun of the sun shining real bright around you. I think you'd be doing some praying too, wouldn't you? Anyway, he was doing some praying and has seen in visions a man named Ananias coming and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Go down to verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Ananias, he was kind of afraid because he said, Lord, this man's come. He's going to bound people and throw them into prison. He's going to murder some. He's going to kill some. But God said to Ananias, he said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Now, what is he going to be chosen for? He's not being chosen to go out and witness to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't say that. He didn't say he wasn't going to be chosen to go make piles with Peter. Matter of fact, he rebuked Peter. He said that he is going to be my, he is going to bear my name before the Gentiles. Now that to me is good news. Now think about it, that's good news because here it is, God saved the man to come to us. He has some specific words for us. Paul said to consider what I said and God will give thee understanding. He said, say, consider what I say. Paul didn't say, well, I want you to go over here and consider what Peter said, or let's go over here and see what they say in Hebrews. Let's go here and see what they say over here in John or Peter. And there are some verses in Peter, and I'm not lying to you. I'm not kidding you. When I was in the Independent Baptist Church, let me share a verse with you. Go to, I think it's 1 Peter or 2 Peter 2. Y'all might know this. I was taught this verse in a church. Well, let's go back to 1 Peter. You know, like the verse that we that Barry talked about Sunday, about first it was 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yeah,
I was taught that one too in Baptist churches, and I'm not trying to pick on Baptist churches. I'm just telling you, this is the kind of thing they teach us. Yeah, here we go. Verse chapter 2, verse 9. Now, I want you to listen to this verse. Now, if you're an unsaved person sitting in a religious system, and some preacher gets up and says, I want you to read this verse with me. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, I was taught that. And because I was like 26 years old when I heard this verse. And I thought, man, that's a good verse. That sounds good to me. Lost is a ball of high weeds, as Barry would say. And I used to think, man, that's a good verse for me. But you know what? Now that I know the difference, where it says to study, show thyself a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Well, that's part of it right there. Rightly dividing, because it goes on to say a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him. Now, what is he really talking about here?
Israel.
He's talking about the priesthood of Israel.
Because it says holy nation.
That's right. It says a holy nation. But the religious system wants to blind you. The religious system don't want you to know that you have an apostle for a particular purpose. And without the apostle Paul, we would have no hope. And we could not make a difference in somebody else's life. Their eternity. And that's what it's all about. That's our ministry, is to make a difference in somebody else's eternity. Because if they die and they don't hear from us what Paul has given us, and we'll get into that, is they're going to die and go to hell. And then they're going to be cast into a lake of fire. And the lake of fire is where, that's the final resting place. And it's been given our ministry. Part of our ministry is to tell people. Paul came to us and said, I have something for you. And I read that verse. Go to Titus. Let me read this verse. Something I wish I had said Sunday after I read it. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, Well, that promise was a mystery. That promise was a mystery. And it's because of the Apostle Paul that we can come to the understanding of what that mystery is. And there's not just one mystery. I've read through and I'm like, wow, the mystery of the changing of our bodies, the mystery that Christ took away the wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. Those are mysteries that God, and it was given to a certain person. It was given to Paul. All right, and he says, I will show, go back to Acts chapter 9, verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Chapter 13, Acts 13, verse 2. God said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Here we got Saul again. And here's the man. And you know, Saul wasn't just some... Or he was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But you know what? He threw all that away. When he came face to face with Jesus Christ, he just said, I'm chunking all that. Saul was just one kind of his tongue. And it says... Whereunto I have called them. He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. God called Saul, of course, he changed his name to Paul. We know him as the Apostle Paul. Turn over to chapter 13. We're still in 13. Go to verse 46 and 47. It says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but being seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So who we got going to the Gentiles? We got Paul and Barnabas. But we don't look at Barnabas because Barnabas finally just gave up. I think he gave up. Paul didn't. Paul gave him, God gave Paul a ministry. Paul, God gave Paul an itinerary. He had a special thing for Paul to do. And that is go to the Gentiles. He had to come to us because without that, we have no hope. And he goes on to say, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles. Paul was the light to the Gentiles. He was the vessel that God used. Go over to Romans. Romans, 15. Verse 11 of 16 is a very familiar verse. It's one of the verses that Paul we should know. And it says that, and let's go up to verse, but nevertheless, brethren, I have written thee more boldly unto you. This is verse 15. In some sort is putting you in mind because of the graces given to me of God that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Ministering the gospel of God that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified. The words I want is that I should be the minister of the Gentiles. So God called Paul to be our minister. But he also gave Paul some specific things. Go to Philippians. Now remember what I said in the beginning. Paul said to consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 16. It says, Nevertheless, we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren. Now, here's Paul. He is our minister. But he tells us to do something. He's going to tell us in Philippians 3, verse 17, it says, brethren, be followers together of me. Now, why would you think we need to follow Paul?
It's
Because if we did.
He's got the word from Jesus.
That's right.
Tell us.
Oh, you want us to answer that?
Yes. Yeah. Help me out of him. Let's have some interaction. Help me to read a lot. Anyway, he said, be followers of me. And Mark, in which walk to us, you have us for an example. Paul, we're to follow Paul. He didn't say follow Peter. If you follow Peter, you're going to go down a wrong way. And there are a lot of people trying to follow Peter.
Most.
Especially in one organization that he is their apostle. And they will go to their grave and fight you tooth and nail if you have anything to say against their apostle, Peter. I know, and not only them, but there are other organizations. I had a privilege at one time when I was still working. I was working for Harbor Freight Tools. I was supposed to have been working anyway, but this gentleman and I, he was a black gentleman, older gentleman, and we got into discussion. And don't get me started. If you don't want me to talk, put some food in front of me, and I'll be quiet then. But we had an opportunity to talk. Right there in the aisle. I'm supposed to be... Huh?
We're going to conference.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to talk. We talked a long time. But I could not get him to see that Peter was not his apostle. I said, no, Paul. And do you know what? He accused me of being brainwashed. Well, my brain is not... I'm not brainwashed, but my brain has been washed by the Word of God. There's 13 books in this Bible. I wish I could remember every word of them. I can't. My little finite brain just can't remember verses anymore like it used to. I try. But I also love the whole Bible because all the Bible is written to us, but it's not written for us. There are some excellent things in the Old Testament. We were talking back in the back a little while ago about the word covenant. And if you get down and start looking at covenants, there was more than just a covenant of Jews and Gentiles, Gentiles blessing Jews. There's the covenant of Noah. God made a covenant with Noah. He made a couple of covenants.
David.
Yes. And that's something, we don't have a covenant. Paul never said one thing about a covenant. But he said to follow him. He said, and go to Romans, 1 Corinthians 4:16. And then we're going to follow the Apostle Paul. He didn't say follow Jesus either. We were talking about it in the back a while ago. You hear people talk about what would Jesus do. Well, let me ask you this. Would you stand and let a bunch of guys take everything away from you and beat you until you bled? I mean, just following Jesus. I'm going to do what Jesus did. Well, yeah. Are you going to stand and walk down that road there and let them just pluck your... They didn't just pluck a hair out. They grabbed him by the beard. And they snatched his beard out. You want to do what Jesus did? Do you want to go and lay down, open your arms wide, and let them take hammers and nails? They didn't take little beady nails either. They took spikes. I wasn't there, but I'm telling you, I believe it was spikes. It was a form of torture. Oh, I'm just going to do what Jesus does. No, I don't think he will either. Because they nailed him to that cross. They didn't just strap him up with some string and then beat little bit nails. They put some spikes in him. And they dropped him in that hole. And he hung there, bleeding and died. And you talk about you want to do what Jesus does. Jesus was a poor man. How do many of us walk where we want to go or need to go? Actually, we get in our shiny cars. Of course, in the case of mine, it's not so shiny anymore. We start that car up and we drive somewhere. But none Jesus walked everywhere he went. Oh, I want to do what Jesus did. But do you know Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head? How many of you are going to go home and get out of your apartment, get out of your house, get out of your trailer, whatever you live in, and hope somebody will give you a place to sleep that night? He became poor for us. But Paul said, no, don't follow Jesus. And I hear people say that all the time. And you see the band. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would tell you to follow Paul. And that's what the Word of God says. Paul said to follow me. I think I told you to go somewhere. 1 Corinthians 4:16.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah, that's true. Verse 16. Wait, hold on just a minute. Let me get my eyeballs here.
Yeah, that's it.
Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Paul said, follow me. Now, somebody mentioned a little while ago, be careful about saying follow Paul because, you know, Paul got beat 5 times, 39 times, saved once. He was also in the ocean, sea. He was beat by rock. He even died. He was stoned to death. But Paul said, follow him. He said, follow him. You know, God never promised us a rose garden. Have you ever thought about that? If you're having really a good time and everything seems to be smooth in your life, watch out. Because if you want to serve the Lord, it's going to happen. Something might happen. Follow Paul. Paul didn't have a life of ease. He didn't have it easy. He was a prisoner. He was on a ship and it got broken up and he was on an island and got bit by a snake. Paul went through some things for us too. But we're to be followers of Paul. But it's in the doctrine. It's in the words that he has to say. He says, follow, he means follow him in the Word of God. And don't take out Romans through Philemon and just study it and rightly divide it. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. No, let's go to chapter 1 first. I want to look at chapter 1 real quick. Corinthians. Thank you.
First, second.
All right, hold on just a minute. Let me look at. Yeah, I'm using notes, but they're not written down notes. They're notes in my Bible. Oh, it's 1 Corinthians. I lost my place. Here we go. I'm back. We were in 4:16, weren't we? Be patient with me. Let me say, this is what I want. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Chapter 11, verse 1. First Corinthians, chapter 11. Now, you get the picture here. Paul said to consider what I say. He says to follow me. Well, that's what it says right here in verse 1 of chapter 11. It says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Be ye followers of me. Paul said that. Paul said to be followers of me. Then I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things. The Apostle Paul is our apostle. Go to Romans 15:16. And there's more in Acts. There is a lot more in there about Paul being our apostle, being sent to the Gentiles. Excuse me. Another familiar verse. First of all, let's start with verse 14 because it's all good. And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. And that's something we need to do. We need to admonish one another. We need to comfort one another. We need to take the scriptures and just comfort one another. 1 Corinthians 4 says, by the comfort of the scriptures. It's 1 Corinthians. By the comfort. We need to take the scriptures and just comfort one another. Because we all need that. We all need somebody to come up and say something, say a good word to us. Don't you? Don't you sometimes think, well, you know, don't want a pat on the back, but a good word, you know, something comforting from the Scriptures. But Paul says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you, in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to you, to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." Again, it says here, Paul, a second time, says, "I am the minister to the Gentiles." He is our minister. He wants us to follow him. He is our pattern. Do you know that Paul is our pattern? And let's see if I can find that. I want that verse. Oh, yeah. Well, I had it in my mind a while ago. Oh, here we go. 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. Let's start with verse 16. Well, that is where I want to go. Well, let's go with verse 15 first. I like that one. This is, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul said, "I am the chief of sinners." Sometimes I have to say, "Well, I'm right behind you." He was the chief of sinners, and he was a blasphemer. And you know, at one point Jesus said in his ministry that God would forgive you of everything, but not the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And I had somebody the other day tell me, "Well, you know, God will forgive you of everything but blasphemy." I said, "No, he's forgiving you of that." "Oh, no." I said, "Yeah, he's forgiving you of all sins." And it's amazing how when you tell somebody that Christ has forgiven you of all trespasses, they'll say, "Well, no, what about this person, this group of people, the homosexual?" "Yeah." "Well, I don't believe it." "Well, I'm sorry, it's the Word of God. He says that he has forgiven you of all trespasses." That's what Paul said. He said he was the chief of sinners. He was a murderer. He was out to create havoc. But he said to follow him because Christ sent him to us as our minister. He's a minister. And he said, goes on to say, "Howbeit," verse 16, "howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy." Because of us in this room right now. Because of us, because of me. Paul was sent to us to show us his word so that we can know and have hope. As the song says, our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. Well, we would not hear those words. We would not hear about the hope of Jesus Christ if we did not have the Apostle Paul as our minister, as our guide. As our pattern, it goes on to say, "For Christ has showed forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life." God, through Paul, has given us everlasting life. Right here in the Word of God, from Romans to Philemon, you can find everlasting life. You cannot go back before Romans and find eternal life. Look what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. That's why I'm saying that they weren't sealed. But God said, we're sealed. Look at Ephesians. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Now, we're just considering what Paul says. There's so much that Paul has said in here. And we're not probably not even going to cover 5% of what Paul has said. But I hope that through my stumbling, I can bring something out about Paul and why we're here tonight. It's to hear about Paul. To understand that Paul is our apostle for this day and age. And without Paul, we can't have hope to give to other people. So they'll have hope. To make a difference in their eternity. That's what I... You know, ever since I saw that movie yesterday, I'm thinking, what are we doing? What is the body of Christ doing? Now, I'm not talking about Grace Bible Church, the building. I'm talking about us as individuals. What are we doing to make a difference in another person's eternity?
Do you realize the next person in this room is going to be the next person to die? And I know that's scary. People don't like to talk about death. But death is going to happen to us. One day, one of us is going to die. Or somebody we know close to us is going to die. Have we taken the time to make a difference in their eternity? Because once they die, it's a little late. And then what? When you stand, when they come to the judgment seat of Christ, are they going to look at you and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you take the time to make a difference? You made a difference in my life. You taught me how to read. You taught me how to do this stuff, but you didn't tell me about Jesus Christ. Excuse me. So what are we doing? And I'm talking, I'm preaching to my, I'm sorry.
I didn't have the mic mixed up.
I tried. It caught me. Anyway. I'm serious. I'm really serious. I mean, I've been thinking about that a lot. And I'm talking to myself, Stanley, what are you doing? You go out to the zoo and you work. You sit there on the computer. Did you make a difference in somebody's eternity today? I'm saying, Shay, no. Because we get so wrapped up in ourselves. We get wrapped up in in our daily lives. We get wrapped up in so many things that we forget. Or we just don't take the time. We faint. And Paul said, faint not. Paul said, to consider what I say. He said, I don't even know where I'm at now. Oh, Ephesians 5. Excuse me, 4, verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So you have that privilege. If you're saved, if you're in here tonight, and you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you are sealed. But what about your loved ones? What about your friends? That you let go walking day by day. Friend, you know, go out. And that person drops off in hell. They're not sealed. Because you haven't taken the time to make a difference in their eternity. You haven't taken the time to consider what Paul said. Paul said that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. But you know what? That's true. They all have sin. There's not a righteous person in the earth. But what are we doing? What are we doing to make a difference in somebody's eternity? Are we showing them the Apostle Paul? Are we letting them believe that Peter is their apostle? And it's amazing. It's amazing how they'll teach that in churches nowadays and in religious systems. And I don't mean to get on their case, but I was in a religious system for a long time. And I already told you, I've been to three different types of churches. And never once did anybody take the time to tell me that Apostle Paul was my apostle. Or he had the words of truth. Oh, they told me about the cross. I heard the message about that. I heard the cross. I heard Jesus died on the cross. I heard he died for my sins. But not one time did I understand that it was enough. Paul said, go over to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Consider what Paul said, consider what I say. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Well, let's go to verse 10. Because that's the verse that we're going to use. It says, verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. To speak, Paul said to speak the same thing. Do you really think that the organizations today are speaking the same thing? They're not. Because if they are, then why do we have so many different organizations? Religious organizations. I mean, turn on your radio, turn on your television. Excuse me. Pardon me. It says to say is speak the same thing. Now, you can't speak the same thing out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Paul's epistles. It won't work. It's like oil and vinegar. They just all mix. You can't take something out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and think that it's going to work for you as you would Paul's epistle. Paul said, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To study. Now, Jesus didn't tell his apostles to study. He told them not to take any account of what they want to say. But we have to study. Now, I am very poor at studying. I had that problem when I was in school. I was not a very good studier. I'm lazy. But Paul said to study. He says to say the same thing. You cannot get up here in a pulpit and say something different than what Barry would preach out of the Word of God, out of the King James Bible. Tony could not get up here and preach the same thing out of the King James Bible and say the same thing that would be the truth for today. Norman, you cannot share on your iPhone something that is not for you to say. I mean, that's not out of the King James Bible. Paul said to speak the same thing. And I've read some of you, and I like what you write sometimes. You give them. You go get them. Show them the truth. That's what our job is to show them the truth. And we have a teacher and a preacher and an apostle for our dispensation of grace. See, when I was in the system, their rightly dividing was a whole lot different than what I heard when I started coming to grace. I mean, they had something like the age of innocence, the age of the law, or age of this, and age of that. They had grace squeezed in there, but it wasn't the age of grace that Paul preached. Because they were trying to mix it all in. They would take sections and mix it all up. But that's not what Paul said. Paul said to consider what I say. Paul said to say the same things. But I was getting back to the cross a little while ago. Let's read on down. It says, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized into the household of Stephanus, also the household of Theophilus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For this is what Paul said, why baptism was nothing to him. Because for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. God called Paul to preach to us a gospel. And not just any gospel. And there's more than one gospel in the Word of God, but you start reading it. I mean, you got the gospel of Adam and Eve. That's the gospel. Because gospel, the word gospel just means good news. And preaching is just getting up and proclaiming it. I mean, Noah had a gospel. His gospel was he had to build an ark. And if he didn't, he was going to drown. By the way, does anybody know how long Noah was in the ark? Carlton got it, because I already Carlton got the answer. I had to give him the answer. That was fascinating when I looked that up. When I read that the other day, I said, wow, he was in the ark. Because most churches teach us he was only there for 40 days and 40 nights. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. That's how long it rained. But he was in the ark a year, a month, and 27 days. Now, don't that make you excited when we go and look up something in the Bible? Don't you ever get really excited about the Bible sometimes? Go and see what Paul has done for us. Go and see what Paul says. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdoms of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. Now, when I was new in the grace movement, 2 years, it took me 2 years. Man, I thought I was okay. I mean, my big problem was I go out on my insurance route after hearing Barry, and I think, Lord, when did I ever get lost? And that troubled me for a while. It did.
And I would read the Bible, but I didn't understand what was going on. Try to teach a Sunday school class. Try to preach one time. And God said, no, you're not ready. Because you don't know me. You don't know that the cross is enough. Paul preached the cross. He said, consider what I say. And he said, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And that's what's happening today. They're trying to get ready for the one world church. They want to do away with the cross. They want to do away with the blood of Jesus Christ. And without the blood, there is no remission of sin. Christ had to die on the cross. He did not get hung by the neck. He didn't have his neck chopped off. He was not stoned. He was hung on a tree. He gave himself. They didn't just throw him down. He laid down on that cross for you and me. He laid on the cross for us. Paul said to consider what he said. He said, follow me. Consider what I say. Say the same thing. But you know what? People don't do that anymore. We're not, churches are not saying the same thing. And it kind of gets me, when I hear people talking, I was trying to witness a couple of folks at the zoo about a month or so ago. Because both of them had experienced the death. You know, they were two different people, but they were both of them had experienced some kind of death, a friend and a relative. And this person, this third body, I didn't have my sword with me. That was my fault. But I think I have enough that I can pretty much carry on the conversation. And I was trying to comfort these people and trying to show them that there's none good, no, not one. Somebody even asked me about Revelation, and we got. But this third person kept yakety-yakking. She was saying things like, well, hell is here on earth. I said, no, it's not. And you can't argue with somebody if you don't have your sword with you. Make sure you have a sword with you. Mine was in the office. But the point I'm getting at is there was someone trying to interrupt. And those folks, I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to witness to them again or not. They only partially got to hear some of the word. Be consistent. Paul said, be consistent. But he said also that the preaching of the cross, and he went on down, look in chapter 2. Paul said in chapter 2, verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Is that something you do? You know, we get together, we talk a lot about this and that, and I'm guilty. We talk about a lot of things. But do we really stop and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, even amongst ourselves? When's the last time you shared your testimony with someone? When's the last time you told somebody, hey, you know what? When I was 41 years old, I was lost as a ball in high weeds. Or as I used to say, another pastor friend of mine used to say, turkey buzzard in a jewelry store. And I was. I was lost. Because I never had a time in my life. I never had a time when the preaching of the cross, is verse 18 of chapter 1, that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. I never understood that. I really didn't. And you know, God is amazing. I won't say amazing. You ever really stop and think about how God works things in your life? Have you really just stopped and think about, I was sharing with Dan and them in the back about how I came to Montgomery. I couldn't have done it on my own. God had to do it. For me to come up to Montgomery, to serve in the ministry here, but to get before that, though, how I came to know about the cross, after 2 years, I was under conviction. I thought I was saved, because previously, in my younger days, some folks came by my house and asked me if I was saved. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm saved. But I was not. I was lost. I was religious, but lost. Because I'd go to church. I'd take my family to church. Then I got another family. Started going to church. Went to church 20 years. Put money in a basket when they pass it around. Tried to teach Sunday school. But there was something gnawing at me. Something, because every time I go out, I said, Lord, when did I come to that knowledge? When did I come to the part where it says, for the preaching of the cross of them that perish foolishness?
But unto us is the power of God, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom's words, lest the cross of Christ. And I thought, you know, when did I get lost enough to get saved? When did I get to that point where I realized there is none good? I mean, I did the religious thing. I did. I went to church. And then finally, after several years of living in Eufaula, I did something just eating at me. Because the churches that I was going to, they did some strange things. They started doing some crazy things. And I left one church because the pastor got up and made his grown son get up and confess his sins before the church. Now, would you like to come here and confess your sins? You want to come here and tell us? Tony, you want to come here and tell me about all your sins before the church?
I don't have any sins.
Yeah, right. That's right. He's right.
I don't have any sins.
He's right.
My sins.
He's right. But this preacher wanted his son to come up and confess this, and I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, and I'm lost, but I thought, this is not right. This something ain't right here. So I got tired of that religion and started going to another one. Well, as long as Brother Parker was at Parkview Baptist Church, which is the second largest Southern Baptist church in Eufaula, I did admire him because he stood on the King James Bible. But he didn't teach you right to write it. You know, he did his little sermonette, as we call it. He got his little points in and then have a little puppy dog tail at the end of it and some boo-hooing and sing "Just As I Am" about 25 times. You know, you get in there and get hungry and want to go home. But I never heard the power of the cross was enough. And finally, Parker left, and the next preacher they brought in, guess what he wants to do? We don't need the King James Bible anymore. Let's just throw it out. It's archaic. I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. I know enough about the King James Bible. My daddy taught me enough about the King James Bible. No, it's the true Word of God. Well, I was saved or not. It was the Word of God. You were going to take it. And I'm thinking, this man, he's going to come here and take away my Bible? Man, I was frustrated. And even though I was trying to teach, I was a lost man trying to teach Bible class. Now, try to go figure that out. You can't do it. I mean, you can fake it. Oh, yeah, you can fake it. You can fake it. But I got tired of him. And the night that they voted him in, this is so shocking to me. The night that they voted him in, 187 people were there. 185 people stood up. I was one that did not. And someone else did not. A friend of my wife's did not stand up. My wife was there. I'm thinking, what? Are you nuts? You want to listen to a man who throws out the King James Bible and brings in an NIV? I said, forget it. I'm just chucking this religious system. I was like, that's it. Well, in 1994, I think that's when the Crystal Coast moved to Montgomery. I mean, the Eufaula.
I think so.
Yeah, because 2 years. Across the street from me, this young couple from Montgomery, God brought them to me, to Eufaula, Alabama, right across the street. And we got to know them. Now, my wife got to know Nick's wife. And we started having Bible class. And I started going, I thought, well, okay, you know, I wasn't doing anything. Sitting on my back and do nothing. And there was a gentleman to come down from Montgomery, Alabama named Barry Hampton. Well, I didn't like Barry Hampton when I first met him. I really didn't. I love him. I love him to death now because I told him not too long ago, brother, if it hadn't been for you and your wife, Brenda Hampton, and it was more than 2 years. They came to Eufaula for several years. I've been knowing them for 17, 18 years. Well, you watch Melanie grow up and get ready to watch her have a wedding. But I didn't like him because he would step on, then I had toes. I had all my toes, and he stepped on every one of them.
That's one of the young men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a little delayed action. Because he'd say, well, you don't need to be baptized. And I said, well, yeah, you do. You had to be baptized. And guess what this fool would do? I'd run back to the NIV man. And he would call Barry, I forgot what he called Barry something. But you know what was really funny? As I started going and going. And I'd go back and I'd go, I remember, especially when you got to the tithing part, you don't have to tithe. I said, man, this guy is nuts. I'm not going back. But you know what it made me do? It got me just looking into the Word of God. And then it got me to thinking about, when did I get lost? And I started going to Bible conferences. We went to Fort Walton, I think was the first one we went to. And I'll never forget. We went to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Now, I went to Fort Walton and heard E.C. Moore preach. I heard Jack Lockhart preach. Jerry Lockhart, Jerry Sanders, Barry Hampton. I'm talking about Brian Slott. I heard these guys preaching. But I walked out of those conferences. I walked out of that conference lost. And it was eating at me. It was eating at me. Because I never had a time to understand that Paul said to consider what I say. Consider the power of the cross. Until Saturday morning in Chattanooga, Tennessee, April the 13th. I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to Jerry Lockhart from Brunson City, and he's up there preaching. He is preaching the cross message. I'm 41 years old then. And for the first time in my life, I realized I had no hope. He preached from the Word of God. He preached from Paul's epistles. He preached Paul as my apostle. He preached at the cross. If it was not enough, you're going to die and bust the slats out of hell. And I'm sitting there, about the fifth row back, and I am sitting there thinking, I'm over the pit of hell. And you've heard me use this illustration many a time. I'm on this rope. And this rope is greasy. There is no knot in the rope, and I'm over the pit of hell, and I am sliding. Just as fast, and Christ is standing there saying, man, I did it all. I did it all at the cross. Consider what Paul says. He preached about the cross. Follow him. He is your pattern. Let go. And finally, I just let go. I finally let go that day. And a peace, I have never experienced a peace in my life like I did that day. It just washed over me. And you know what? I have not one time questioned the day of my salvation. The day. Now, Satan comes along and he tries to put little things in your mind. Now, don't think Satan won't give up. Because I'm telling you now, he is our enemy. And he ain't got nothing else to do to try to bring. First of all, he wants to stop people from hearing the cross. And then, when you hear the cross and you get saved, he wants to stop you from being effectual. Minister of God. And he will try. Believe you me, if you make it a point in your life that you want to serve the Lord, and I'm talking to saved people now, you want to make it a point in your life to serve the Lord and ask God for His will, for your good and His purpose, Satan's going to come along and give you a hard time. You can take that to the bank. But I'm telling you, that Saturday, very first person I told was Barry Hampton. And do you know, I praise God for Barry Hampton and Brenda Hampton. But I praise God for Paul, my apostle. I praise God for the King James Bible. I praise God for Grace Bible Church, the people that are here, the faithful. Let's make a difference. Let's not only make a difference in somebody's life, let's take the Word of God and make a difference in their eternity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Follow the house.